Cigarettes.
Nope.
Yep. Ladies, gentlemen,
young ladies, young gentlemen,
I saw a very young lady. Welcome. Welcome to the International Institute for Social Studies here in The Hague, ISS, as an acronym. We are an old institute, because we're over 50 years old. We're small, because we're only 150 people big. We're proud, because we are one of the only institutes in Europe who has more students from developing countries than from the rich countries, and we'd like to keep it that way. And especially, we are an institute of social studies. And what that means that we are not economists, just economists, not sociologists, just sociologists, but we feel that we are social scientists. That means that if there are social problems in the world, that we deal with them as social scientists. Now, that takes a little bit, for those of you who are not social scientists, that takes just a twist of mind what that means. Well, most of us have come to be educated in our disciplines. And I think this conference gives us the opportunity to think beyond the box, to think beyond the discipline. And our daily work is to try and work beyond our discipline, yet have that discipline as a constant reference point. Because of course it is our colleagues, our peers, who review our work, whether it's any good at all. So welcome to an institute which tries to break beyond the bounds of discipline, to break beyond the bounds of just the developed or the rich countries. And we hope that if you have a chance, speak with our students. Most of them are mid-career participants in our courses. They have a wealth of experience, and they shall be very glad if you are in the lobby or if you are in the lunchroom, in the atrium, where you've just been, to speak with you. So welcome. Please start the dialogue. I will have to excuse myself because, as you see, I have to go to a burial, so I will not be with you for the rest of the morning. But I will certainly be with you again for tomorrow. Dieterke, the floor is yours.
Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, when asked by the ADG of Science of UNESCO, Professor Erdelen, if the Netherlands Commission for UNESCO would be willing to patronize this conference, Building the Scientific Mind, we have been willing to do so with great pleasure. On the first sight, the topic of this conference may seem rather obsolete. Haven't the sciences and the application penetrated into every corner of the world, from sunrise to sunset, from north to south, and from east to west? One needs only to think of means of communication, like radio, television, or internet, of means of transportation, like cars and planes, or, for example, of healthcare and medicine, to have the impression that science is everywhere. So why pay attention to the building of the scientific mind? Hasn't it spread enough already? In the first chapter of 100 Years of Solitude, Garcia Marquez describes the visit to its village of a man who shows them the amazing tricks like the making of ice. To the inhabitants of the village, this has everything to do with magic. That it could be a product of the discovery of the laws of nature by mankind does not even occur to them. The village described by Garcia Marquez is not a rare example of a past world, but represents a worldview that still exists in huge parts of the world. And we only have to remember that millions of people all over the world don't even have access to basic education to realize that there is still a long way to go before we have reached the stage in which the so-called scientific mind is as widespread a phenomenon as science itself. But why is it so important to invest in the building of the scientific mind? In his introductory paper on the web, the organizer of this conference, Jan Visser, points out some characteristics of the scientific mind, and amongst them are the ability to think critically, creativity and open-mindedness, and a high level of ethical and aesthetical consciousness. All three are fundamental for political systems and ways of living that we value highly in our present world. The ability to think and discuss critically, to question dominant ideologies, and to search for ways of governing that bring the best for most people is one of the foundations of democracy. As García Márquez has proven on the individual level by his own career, and as many others have already shown in their investigations, creativity and open-mindedness are essential for living in the fast-changing world of today. And moreover, creativity and open-mindedness are also essential for the development of a civil society and a civic culture. A sense of beauty and a high moral level are also qualities that are supposed to go hand in hand with the development of the scientific mind. And as such, the effort to stimulate this development seems to merit a substantial investment. Nevertheless, the praise of the scientific mind and its advantages should not lead us into an unwarranted optimism. It has taken the Western world from the Middle Ages until the first half of the 20th century to develop this state of mind. But meanwhile, we have discovered that this path is not easy and certainly not self-evident that the results are always positive. The French philosophers who were at the origin of the Enlightenment still were convinced that science and rationality would automatically go hand in hand with progress and happiness for all people, and that the scientific mind itself also would bring along specific ethics and sense of beauty. And on the one hand, they have been right. If we look at the past two centuries, there never has been such an increase in welfare, health, and equality as in the Western world. But at the same time, we never have experienced such atrocities as World War I and World War II, and we never have developed such destructive weapons as the atomic bomb or created such a pollution as we have now. Already the founding fathers of sociology, like Max Weber and later Karl Mannheim, have shown that sciences do not bring about an ethical and aesthetical consciousness automatically. On the contrary, Max Weber even speaks of the cold hands of rational order, and Mannheim argues time and again that people tend to lose sight of the goals for which they want to use the instruments of science and limit themselves to rationality of means, the so-called functional rationality. In short, science produces the means to achieve results that are in the interest of mankind, but also can provide us with the weapons of destruction. And the choice is ours. A hammer is meant to drive a nail into something and not to kill, but it can usually kill, and it's the choice that we made. UNESCO was established in the aftermath of the World War II as the organization that is in charge of building peace by creating peace in the minds of men. And the way of achieving that was creating knowledge and understanding between the peoples, a typical Enlightenment way of proceeding. UNESCO now exists 60 years, and it has achieved a lot of things. It established programs on world heritage, and scientific programs that contribute to capacity building, but also many other things. But in the course of its existence, UNESCO also has discovered that knowledge as such is not sufficient to make the world a better one, but that a specific moral attitude is required for that. The Declaration on Science and the Use of Scientific Knowledge, adopted by the World Conference on Science in Budapest in 1999, testifies to that. In his famous correspondence in the 30s of the past century, his correspondence with Freud, Einstein argues that the answer to the prevention of war lays in the minds of men, and Freud agrees. As the president of the Netherlands Commission for UNESCO, I hope that this conference will contribute to the development of the scientific mind in such a way that all over the world, scientifically literate people will be able to contribute to peace, welfare, and democracy all over the world. And I wish you a very good conference.
Thank you very much. Distinguished participants, ladies and gentlemen, it is a pleasure and honor to represent UNESCO at this important intellectual event. I think that all of you are aware of the first sentence in UNESCO's constitution. I quote, that since wars begin in the minds of men, it is in the minds of men that the defenses of peace must be constructed. End of quote. As we see, all that the founding fathers of UNESCO some 60 years ago knew about the key to human being, which is his mind, to which all negative or positive contributions to life are attributed. So this is the mind. 60 years ago, first sentence of UNESCO, speaking about mind. Now, after all these long years, it seems, well, I think you mentioned the positive things about what UNESCO is all about, what UNESCO is doing, but I'm going also to be of scientific mind and have a critical things about what we should do, what's there, what's not there. If we look at after all this year, we have not grasped yet, actually, neither in governments nor in multilateral or international organizations, the role of mind as the main player is not yet there. The qualities of scientific mind, which would be rationality, curiosity, open-mindedness, suspended judgments, objectivity, critical thinking, persistence, inventiveness, honesty, and humility, are not taken care of yet in education. What's going there in education? Look at any ministry of education in government, and even in UNESCO itself, look at the structure there. We'll find divisions for primary education, secondary and technical education, higher education, and so forth. This is a structure. So where we can build then the scientific mind? It's not there, because all these divisions are trying to staff the minds of the students at different ages just with knowledge. But it is segregated knowledge, and this is a real problem. Look at the programs. Now we're talking about structure. Look at the programs. The programs in UNESCO, for example. I'm a UNESCO man, but I should be of critical thinking as well. And they don't like that. Look at the program. We have a very good program. I'm not against the program. It's Education for All. Everybody in the world works for Education for All, which is actually a UN program with other multilaterals, like World Bank, UNDP. Everybody's working for that, but UNESCO has been mandated to play the main role for the Education for All. But once again, look at the program. It's Education for All. It is more quantitative rather than qualitative. But to beautify the whole process, we are talking also about quality of education. When it comes to quality of education, what's there? Well-trained teachers, good schools, good environments of schools, I mean well-furnished schools, and all these things, good books, good curricula, but still there, nothing about building a scientific mind. I mean, the methodology is missing, and this is the point. This is actually trained all over the world. I'm not talking only about UNESCO. I'm Egyptian myself, and even I tried to do it a long time ago in Egypt, and it's not possible. It's not easy. So that's why I think that what are you going to do, what are you going to discuss during the next 4 days is very, very important, not only for UNESCO, but also for, education in the world. It's not, as you really mentioned, it's not just education, because education is the methodology, but where is the content, where is the substance? Substance should come from science. So how to get science and education together? How to get the substance to fill, the right curricula and the right methodology in education? This is very important. When we talk about knowledge, it should be integrated knowledge rather than segregated knowledge. When we talk about curricula. It should be curricula not just with new information, but curricula to build up the way of thinking. So I think that what are you going to do is very important. In some, for some times in UNESCO, when Federico Maiorra, I think he will be coming, was the director general of UNESCO, he was aware of this fact, and that's why he used to create advanced units to pull up all the program sectors. And Jan Visser himself was leading for a long time Learning Without Frontiers, which we miss now. and actually it's here now. And actually this is the way to overcome this thing. So I think my concern is only one point, which is my last point, is we will be analytical, we'll be discussing what's going on, but how to make it happen. How to make it happen. This is very important, how to find out a mechanism to change the world, how to create a critical mass to change this education and science, and to really find a way to build the scientific mind. So we are all waiting for the results of, of your deliberations, and thank you very much. Just one last word. I let you know that I was discussing some months ago this issue with the Minister of Science, well, Minister of Science of India. Because I'm an engineer, Professor Mazen, I'm more biased to engineering because science is a part of engineering. So I said to him, we had the conference on policy, science policy. I said, it's not just policy. We have to re-engineer the whole thing to educate them how to work as engineers. I mean, how to analyze and then to synthesize. And we agreed that we should have something. Just next day, by telepathy, Jan wrote to me, why you don't come to our meeting here? This is about scientific mind. So I liked very much. Just 2 days ago, I talked again to the Minister of Science, and you agreed we are going to replicate or to have similar activity in India, which is 1,000. You know, the population is 1,000 million in the last week of August. And, you might be also invited to that. So thank you very much indeed.
Well, I'd like to thank the three people who preceded me and took part in the opening ceremony, TDK in the first place. If you'd like to have a copy of your very profound intervention, and not yours as well, and that you will be staying with us, so I don't have to remind you. And Luke had to leave because he has to attend the funeral, and so he's already gone, but he'll be back because he is also a regular participant in this meeting. So thank you very much. And I will be continuing for the next 13 minutes that are left until it's 11 o'clock with a brief introduction to what we will be doing, to what this conference is about.